Banter, banter, banter.
I think it's here. There were minor difficulties.
You know, I was in the back trying to find a Red Fox record. You know, and I know we
oh,
have
he
one.
Oh, he died. Yes,
he sure did. And but I know we have one. We have a record somewhere.
I've seen it. I think.
If any station people are out there and they know what that record is, let me know because I want to play some Red Fox tonight.
Well, Scott would have some of his own, I'm sure.
Ah, bring him in.
Well, if you're out there, come on up.
Once again, this is Vanessa Moran from WUSB 90.1, Long Island's first station of the 90s.
On Sunday, October 13th,
Milton Berle and Red Buttons at Westbury Music Fair. Monday, October 14th, Holmes Brothers at Manny's Car Wash. Tuesday, October 15th, C&C Music Factory at Westbury Music Fair. Bobby Radcliffe at Manny's Car Wash. On Wednesday, October 16th, at the Beacon Theater, Squeeze, Kirsty MacColl, and the Katydids. John Watkins at Manny's Car Wash. Thursday, October 17th, at Manny's Car Wash, Lonnie Brooks. Friday, October 18th, Jesus Jones and Ned's Atomic Dustbin at the Academy. Howie Mandel at Stony Brook University Gym. Saturday, October 19th, at IMAC, Bed Sidran. Jesus Jones and Ned's Atomic Dustbin at the Academy, Bo Diddley Jr. at Manny's Car Wash. On Monday, October 21st, Billy Joel, Don Henley, and Sting at Madison Square Garden. On Wednesday, October 23rd, Brand New Heavies at the Marquee. Thursday, October 24th, the Concert for Walden Woods, featuring Don Henley, Bonnie Raitt, and Jimmy Buffett at Madison Square Garden. Armored Saint, Wrathchild America, and Last Crack at Marquee. Pine Top Perkins at Manny's Car Wash. On Friday, October 25th, The Reactors at Arthur's. James Taylor at Madison Square Garden. Saturday, October 26th, Struns and Farrah at IMAC. George Carlin at Westbury Music Fair and George Michael at Madison Square Garden. Sonic Youth, John Zorn, Gumball, Love Child at the Ritz. On Wednesday, October 30th, Trip Shakespeare at the Marquee, Kentucky Headhunters, NRBQ at the Ritz. Thursday, October 31st, Lenny Kravitz at Beacon Theater, Blues Traveler at Roseland, and Brett Michaels and the Hollywood Gutter Cats at the Marquee, Trip Shakespeare at the Marquee, and Stray Cats and Dred Zeppelin at the Ritz. For Friday, November 1st, the Bodeans at the Academy, Buzzcocks and Doughboys at the Ritz. And Saturday, November 2nd, Urban Dance Squad at the Academy and Buddy Guy at Beacon Theater. For further information regarding upcoming concerts, call us at WUSB 90.1. Our number is 516-632-6901.
I think he cut himself with that razor. This is not Ted Koppel, but this is Brain Damage. There can be no sermon tonight. For we're living in such a troubled time, such an extraordinary turn of events, that nothing I can say can possibly make it all right. Tonight will be a special show. We will talk about sin, sexual harassment, and harassment. And the Supreme Court. And possibly the Supreme Being. Who is guilty and who is innocent? Who's a liar? And who is not? But it just wouldn't be right if we didn't at least try to get into the spiritual sense of things. So, while I'm not able to help, perhaps through sounds, through music, through instruments and words taken from those who are so much better at this than we could possibly be here at the radio station. Perhaps, even though it won't make things all right, perhaps it might point us in the direction, just perhaps. But probably not. Well, it's enough to make me feel a little better. King Missile. Jesus was way cool. And you know, he probably would be way cool if he was around today, and probably he'd be shunned by many of these crazy religious people that are running around screaming left and right. Well, speaking of people running around screaming left and right, it's been a most incredible last couple of days. Actually, it only started yesterday on TV anyway, with the hearings and all. And we're going to be talking about that pretty much for the next couple of hours here on Brain Damage. And we want to get people's opinions as to where they stand. Obviously, somebody is a big liar down there, and we want to know who it is. And we'll be taking opinions on that. Also, we want to know if the things that they were talking about all over the place, on nationwide TV, in front of little kids, all these graphic details, if those kind of things happen to people who work in the Long Island area on a regular basis, and if so, how they are dealt with. And I'd also like to know if you have any insight as to why you believe one person is telling the truth and one person is lying. You know, I have some insight, and I'm going to share that insight. And I just wonder if there's anyone out there that doesn't know what I'm talking about, that doesn't know what's going on. You know, the editorial in Newsday today said America stopped yesterday. Well, it's kind of overblown, but it does get a point across that we're living through extraordinary times. Our telephone number is 632-6901, area code 516. And I've got today's newspaper. Actually, a lot of today's newspapers. Whenever something like this happens, the headlines are always so incredible. Who's the liar? Pictures of the two of them, Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, both being sworn in, looking so cute next to each other. Of course, they weren't next. Can you imagine if they were next to each other, if they had to sit in the same room at the same time? Boy, that must be a debate, okay? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a debate, having the two people there at the same time, and just not leaving until they settle it amongst themselves? And you can tell, you know, when there's two people there and they have to confront each other, you know, pretty quickly you find out who's rational and who is not rational. I don't know. Might be a bit barbaric, but I do think it would solve a couple of the issues, and certainly would make for some good ratings. Let's take a look at the latest from the Associated Press wire. It's one credible witness against another. According to several lawmakers on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Saturday's testimony from Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas brought a repeat of his heated, emotional claim that there's no basis for the allegations of sexual harassment leveled against him. That's another thing we like to know from people out there. How do you pronounce it? Harassment or harassment? I've been hearing so many different commentators on different networks go back and forth, and there's no consistency. It's incredible. So we'll be taking votes on that and also on who you believe and any of the theories that that you might have. The hearings are to continue at noon tomorrow, Washington time, which is the same as our time, by the way, with witnesses for both Clarence Thomas and his accuser, Anita Hall, expected to testify. Panel Chairman Joseph Biden says it's his hope, but not full expectation, that the hearings can be wrapped up by the end of the day. And that's pretty much where it stands right now. Our telephone number is 632-6901. Let's get a few calls on the line. We do have a couple, but I'd like to see a couple more, you know, because I know there's opinions out there about this kind of thing. Oh, every channel has it. By the way, USB is not carrying it, and I think it's a wise decision for us not to carry it since everybody else is carrying it. If you recall, we had the original, yes, the original Clarence Thomas hearings we had on this station, and nobody else had it. So it's sort of what we're all about, you know, being alternative, just doing what everybody else is not doing. Well, according to today's newspaper, some extraordinary things here. I assume everybody's been watching it because you really don't have a choice, you know, unless you want to watch repeats of Cheers on a station someplace. It's on every channel. I don't know. Did they cut for the World Series or the playoffs, whatever it is? Did they cut for that today? They cut for college football? Somebody tell me, because I haven't been watching the commercial networks. You know, it's
It's kind of upsetting to always have to deal with somebody breaking in to explain what somebody is saying, and in the process not allow you to hear what they're saying. I'd rather watch, non-commercial television where they don't do that. But today, they sounded like they were going to tear each other to pieces. Senator Biden, especially. At one point, he was talking to another senator, and he said, "I'll let you talk, but when you're finished, I'm going to cut you off." And he said it just like that. And he wasn't smiling. He was angry. Extremely angry and upset down there. It's the most amazing thing to watch. Okay, 632-6901. We still have two open lines. Get in there while you can. And I'd like to hear from a lot of people that have not called before, because we really want to get a good sampling of the opinions out there about this kind of thing. As you can tell, I have a cold, so I don't want to do too much talking. So help me out here. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, where are you calling from?
CI.
Calling from what?
Central
ISOP. Oh, Central ISOP, CI. Okay, got it.
Who's
lying? Who's telling the truth? You tell me.
I think that Thurman Thomas is probably telling the truth, but...
Clarence Thomas.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay.
No, it's Thurman.
No, that's Strom Thurman is a senator
from
South Carolina, but that's another issue.
I kind of feel sorry for the guy, because he really never wanted to be nominated, but he got nominated and then ended up everybody giving him the third degree.
Wait, when did he say he didn't want to be nominated?
Well, I'm sure he didn't want to be, but he really never jumped up and down asking to have the job, you know?
Well, I can't recall a Supreme Court nominee ever jumping up and down asking for the job.
Yeah, nobody ever does that, but he just, like, got the third degree without him really...
But don't you think it's kind of ironic, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, that what this person is saying is a minor issue at all, but the whole thing about abortion, you know, sailed right past everybody.
Yeah.
And nobody really cared about that. But here we have one person speaking up about, you know, a sexual impropriety of some sort, and all of a sudden, nationwide TV, you know, nobody else carried the hearings when he was talking about abortion, and that's going to affect millions of people around the country. Now, of course, you know, it's going to affect millions of people around the country, too, if he's, you know, some kind of person that's always harassing other people.
Yeah, that's
But I just think, you know, we didn't spend enough time on that.
Yeah, it's very important, but people would rather hear about him sexually harassing somebody because it's more sensational, and they would rather people would rather listen to that than something they've heard 40 times already.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do believe that's the reason why a lot of the media is covering this, for the sensationalism and not so much for the issue itself.
Yeah.
And if you look at the paper today, I mean, my God, every single page has an article about some aspect of this. You know, even in part two of our papers, it's selling a lot of journals. I know that.
Oh yeah, probably a lot of New York Post. The New York Post, they like to have a lot of really weird stuff on the cover.
Did you see the headline in yesterday's Daily News?
No, I don't read Daily News.
Well, I just read the headline, but it was basically Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, I believe, saying that not Anita Hill, the other person who is speaking up against Thomas, who we'll hear from tomorrow. She will have her ass handed to her, he said. That is a quote from a senator,
right?
And that made the cover. Well, that should make the cover if a senator says something like that. I just can't believe it hasn't made more covers and gotten him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in effect, he's calling her a liar before he even hears what she has to say.
That's true. I guess he's a big Thomas supporter, yeah?
I would imagine so, yes. I would imagine so. I know Anita Hill was accused of perjury today by one Republican senator.
I like to accuse a lot of people, don't they?
They sure do, and they've been bickering amongst themselves something fierce.
Yeah.
Really incredible thing. So, basically, your vote goes for Thomas.
It does, and I don't like the guy at all, but I just think that I just feel sorry for him, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Getting a third degree here.
Yeah, you don't think this is fair, what's happening to him?
He should get, but I don't know. It's just kind of cold.
But, I mean, on what do you base that? On what do you base that you believe him and you don't believe her? I mean, is there something that tells you that he's telling the truth, something that tells you she's not? Because one of them is lying.
Yeah.
No question about it.
I don't know. I really didn't pay attention to it, really, because, I don't know, I've been out a lot and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really seen it on TV.
You just have a feeling.
Yeah, just got a feeling about it. I don't know. All of a sudden, she jumps out saying it. Why didn't she say it, like, 2 months ago when he first got appointed? I don't know. Maybe she just found out.
Well, the... the way, and this is what I've heard, and people are saying different things, but the way it's supposed to have turned out is that she, someone please correct me if I'm wrong here, she did file some kind of an affidavit at the beginning of all this to the committee, and it was not made public. It was leaked, I believe it was by NPR and Newsday, got a hold of it somehow, and they leaked it out, as they well should have. I mean, something like that should be known, I think.
Yeah.
And today the committee was going crazy because, you know, senators were basically accusing each other of leaking the document and making this whole thing happen in the first place. What I would like to know why people are not angry about is why they saw fit not to make it public in the first place, why they saw fit to simply pass over it. Now they're all upset because it's public and they have to have these hearings again. Apparently they didn't think it was important enough to have a hearing about in the first place. That's something I think they should be answering.
And maybe they didn't feel like dealing with it.
Uh-huh. But if that's not the way it turned out, please somebody call me and correct me. But I think that's how it's shaping up. One final question for you, sir. Is it Harass or Harris?
I don't know. I always use Harass, but I like Harris. Kind of more official sounding.
Well, it's not what you like. It's what you use, and you use Harass. So that's a Harass person, not a Harris person.
Yep.
Okay.
You know what else happened today?
What's that?
Red Fox died.
Yeah, you know, that really is bad. That's really, I don't like that at all. But you know what surprised me? He was only 68. That means when he was doing Sanford and Son, he was in his 40s?
Really? I thought he was, like, old when he was doing Sanford.
I thought so, too. You know, I'm kind of surprised he was around this long, but I guess he wasn't as old as I thought he was.
You know what's ironic?
What?
Died of a heart attack.
That's true, and he joined Elizabeth way up there in the great junkyard in the sky.
And Elizabeth.
Do you think... No, that's horrible. I can't... All right, I'll say it anyway. Do you think he sort of staggered around like he did on Sanford and Son? Everybody thought it was a joke?
I don't know, maybe.
I don't think so. That doesn't happen in real life.
More of it to come out.
In real life, you drop like a rock.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, I wish I could play the Red Fox record, but I don't seem to be able to find it back there. I mean, you know, the alphabet is sort of I don't know, everybody interprets it differently around here, and I don't seem to have the same interpretation. So it's in there, somewhere with 40,000 records, but I don't know where. If anybody knows, please help me.
All right, have a good night.
Hey, you too. And that call is from Central Islip. We have some open lines now. 632-6901. We're talking about Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill, Capitol Hill, and all kinds of other things going on. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Patchogue.
Okay. And what is your opinion on the Thomas Hill?
Well, what I don't understand is that the thing he did harass this woman, what difference does it make whether he'll make a good judge or not?
You're saying that even if he harassed somebody, he still could be a Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just because this some broad comes out of the woodwork and says something doesn't mean that he still won't be a good judge.
Okay, but if he did what she said he did, okay, if all that stuff she's saying is true, do you still think he'd make a good judge?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I mean,
if our glorious president appointed him to be the judge, then I trust our president.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, that's one aspect to all this is Bush is keeping kind of quiet. Well, he did issue a statement today, but this is probably the worst thing to happen to the Bush presidency that I can remember.
No. Bush knows what he's doing. You know what Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly and carry a big stick. I think that's what Bush is doing.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what should he pander to the media anyway? I mean,
uh-huh.
He knows what he's doing, and he knows that Thomas will be confirmed, and that's that.
So you think Thomas will be confirmed? Do you think it'll be by a narrow margin or by a wide margin?
Oh, sure. I mean, well, not by a large margin, because I think that the people like Howell Hamlin from Alabama are out to get him, but I think that well, if you saw what Orrin Hatch said about him, I think that's enough to have him confirmed.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks for the opinion, and I heard you say pronounce it Harass, not Harris.
Well, whatever, yeah.
Okay, so we got that.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you play me Imitation of Evil by Carnage?
Well, I don't know if I can do that being a talk show and all, but I can certainly pass it on to the next person.
Oh, well, time is Power Surge on?
Well, there is no Power Surge anymore, but no, Power Surge hasn't been on the air for about a year now. But there's a good heavy metal program on. I believe it's Wednesday nights.
Oh, okay.
At 12:30, is that right? Something like that. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay, so we have two Thomas supporters and two people that say it harass and not Harris. Well, I don't know. I don't want to jump to conclusions here and say that all Thomas supporters pronounce it harass. You know, maybe. I pronounce it harass, and I don't consider myself a Thomas supporter, to be honest. I don't know if I believe everything that's being said, but... you know, okay, I'll tell you. Something convinced me today that Thomas was not telling the truth. Something convinced me today. When he was asked if he had ever gone to Anita Hill's apartment to help her roommate install a stereo. Okay, now he's already admitted to driving her home a couple of times. And even going into her house once or twice. Or I don't know how many times, actually. So when asked if... And think of this. Think of this in terms of your own life, okay? Asking you a simple question. Did you ever go into this person's house and help somebody install a stereo? Okay? Now, how many answers are there to something like that? Pretty much yes or no. He said, I don't recall. You know? The old Reagan line, I don't recall. I mean, you've got to remember if you've been in somebody's house installing a stereo. I mean, it's a minor trivial thing, but still, when something like this happens to you, you kind of... remember all the things that that take place involving that person. And if you if you pick a particular person in your life, can you not remember if you've been to their house, especially if you've only been to their house a few times? You should be able to remember what you did when you went to that person's house. Yeah, it was 10 years ago, but somehow I think somebody of Clarence Thomas's intelligence would be able to remember that he went to somebody's house to install a stereo. I just think that's something that he should be able to remember. The fact that he said, I don't recall, tells me he's not telling the whole truth. You know, I don't know if that means he's guilty of everything that that's being said, but I think it says something. That's just the impression I get. I'd like to hear your impressions. We have two open lines. You know, we had a bet with the phone company that we were going to blow some fuses here tonight. And, you know, it's always bad for us when we lose those bets with the phone company. So, please... give us a call, 632-6901. Fill up those lines, and I'll tell you a phone company story later on, too, and maybe we can make a call someplace. 632-6901. Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you? Where are you calling from?
Terryville.
Terryville. Oh, Terryville. I like that place.
Great place.
Now,
I was wondering.
Yeah.
You see it last night when he came back after he talked about Long Dong Silver and big breasts and stuff.
Long Dong Silver, yes.
Yeah. I was like, what is this woman doing? And she was talking about how he was drinking a Coke and in the office. And he went for this Coke and he goes, who put the pubic hair on his Coke?
Yeah, I've heard that several times. And you know...
I'm sure. I have a bit of
information to share with you on that, okay?
I was listening to you and I was like, ah, soothing.
Well, I have a bit of information to share. Now, that little line about the pubic hair and the Coke, okay, that I happen to have heard, and I don't know this myself because I'm not really, you know, aware of all these things, but I have heard that that is a line in a pornographic film. That is a line in a pornographic film. Now, the way she said it, she said, you know, it's the strangest thing. He came over and he said something about having pubic hair in my Coke. They asked her to explain it, and she couldn't explain it. And it turns out to be a line from a pornographic film. So, now, okay, you ask yourself two questions here. You ask yourself, now, if he is actually somebody who watched pornographic films, then isn't it more likely for him to say a line from one of the pornographic films? Whereas if she's accusing him of seeing pornographic films, and he really hasn't, why would she suddenly out of the blue come up with a line from a pornographic film and not be able to explain it? You know, that just doesn't make sense to me.
But what man hasn't seen a porn? You know, this guy doesn't look like the kind of guy that would be talking to some woman about pornographic films unless...
Oh, you can't judge somebody by their looks.
I guess, yeah, I hear.
Definitely can't. That's one thing I've learned.
Yeah, I guess so.
Who do you support here?
I don't know. It's like, you know, I hate this woman for bringing up this menial stuff from 10 years ago. That's what I don't... agree with.
You don't think it's important what she's saying?
No, not really. Because I get harassed on my job. Well, not sexually harassed, but I get harassed all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been working for the state 11 years. I get harassed. I've been written up so many times.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's...
Oh, wait, I get it on TV.
I think it's a lot different when a woman is sexually harassed.
Oh, yeah.
A lot different. And I don't think, you know, we as males can quite comprehend that.
I wish I get sexually harassed.
Well, you see, now, males have a tendency of saying things like that because they feel a lot
I'm
more...
I'm kidding, I'm joking.
A lot safer. But, you know, a lot of people do say that. And, you know, you really don't know what it's like, and there's no way we really can know what it's like.
Well...
So, should I put you down as a Thomas or a Anita Hill supporter?
Well, Thomas sooner, definitely.
Okay, so you think he's telling the truth?
Well, I see the scar on his face, and then I see his wife in the corner. I go, well, he found out he can't get a black girl, so he went for a white girl.
Uh-huh.
I said that yesterday when I saw the scar, and I saw the harassment he went through with that other girl that he tried for. And I said, I guess he went for the white girl because he can't get a black girl, you know. But no, that was opinion.
Yeah. Well, some opinions are best kept to yourself, but...
But I started saying, you know,
uh-huh.
It really, you know, about 10 people, 15 people heard it the most. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, listen, I want to thank you for calling and say hi to all the folks in Terryville. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay. 632-6901, please keep those calls coming in. We have a landslide for Thomas, apparently. 3 votes for Thomas and 3 people who say harass instead of Harris, because I heard him say it. And, boy, I wonder if this is going to be like a scientific thing. Of course, all the people supporting Hill are now going to call up and say, you know, Harris. And, of course, our scientific survey will go right out the window then. But please give us a call. Let us know what your interpretation of all this is, because it's most interesting. And, you know, there aren't very many forums for people to speak on this except, you know, at work and that kind of thing. And since most people don't work on the weekend, what are you going to do? Call us, 632-6901. People in Connecticut, you're eligible to 516 area code. Good evening.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Calling from East Northport.
East Northport.
Yeah. This has been, like, the greatest week.
Has it?
I think so. For television, for politics.
It's interesting to see our government in action and also our government frustrated like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought your idea is really good about having the debate, but it just wouldn't serve the government's purpose.
We never have real debates here, you know? The presidential debates are never real debates.
No, because that would reveal a little bit too much, a little bit more than we need to reveal.
Yeah, we probably have different words. I mean, we had penis said today in the Senate. I mean, that's a milestone, you know? Actually, it was said yesterday.
It was great. I think Heflin is really, he's an earthy guy, and he just wants to get that pubic hair and the Coke can and the penis stuff out as much as he can.
Uh-huh.
And I respect him for that.
Hal Heflin, yes.
Yes.
That's he's something. What do you think of Thomas's comment? And this I thought was kind of interesting. He called what is happening to him a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way think for themselves. You know, it's the first time he's ever really brought attention to his race and, you know, using words like lynching and uppity.
I'm glad you bring that up, because that is relates to a point which has been milling in my mind and was actually even brought up by, I think, Senator Spector, is the fact that, now, if you remember, the original Thomas we saw was very calculated, very, he was well-coached, very well-controlled, and he tended to give you the feeling like, yes, I may have opinions or political views or emotional feelings, but I can put all of that aside in order to make a fair and just decision according to what the Constitution demands. Now, you see him, he's very emotional. He's very defensive. And I just wonder if that facade which he attempted to paint in the original hearings has really broken down and he's actually shown himself to be what any other human being would be, and that he is unable to put aside his prejudices and his beliefs once he is actually confronted with a situation that really gets him in the gut.
Uh-huh. That's a good test of character. Perhaps we should do that to everybody that's on public display.
It is. Because if you remember, any time the abortion issue was brought up, he would never directly give you an answer as to which way he would go, but it was almost like a robotic type of person that we wanted up there, or that he felt that should appear up there on the bench.
And you know what gets me is that was okay that he didn't, you know, ever give his opinion on abortion, even though we all know he has an opinion, and we're all pretty sure what that opinion is, but he would never say it. And, you know, he'd hide behind the statement that it wouldn't be prudent to reveal his feelings on a case he has not yet heard. And people accepted that. I mean, not everybody accepted it, but enough people accepted it so that he could pretty much, you know, sail through and be confirmed.
Yeah.
And, you know, something like this happens. Admittedly, this should be, this should be looked at closely. But this is one personal case. One personal case. And what he will be judging in the future, that's what's really scary.
Right. And he seems to have developed, I don't know if maybe this is just my opinion or just the way I see things, he seems to have developed a real bitterness, which I don't know is such a safe thing for him to develop so quickly and so easily in the situation. I realize it's very serious, but the charges against him. But he's rapidly taken on a very cynical, bitter, and accusatory tone, which I don't think befits a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, let me quote some of the things he said. He referred to the whole process as a circus, a national disgrace. I think that this today is a travesty. I think that this today is disgusting. It should never occur in America. The Supreme Court is not worth it. No job is worth it. I'm not here for that. I'm here for my name, my wife, my integrity. And he blamed the senators for what has been happening to him. I can understand him being angry, but as you say, you know, this kind of a thing sort of brings out things about somebody that you wouldn't ordinarily see. And it's interesting, too, that he was heavily coached by the White House staff on the part one of the hearings, you know, the good hearings. But on these, the evil hearings, he's speaking completely for himself. This is the real Clarence Thomas that we're hearing right now.
Yeah, it's a bit alarming too to think that a possible Supreme Court judge could have such contempt for just the airing of claims or just the search for the truth. He really seems to despise any attempt to do the kind of search that he's actually being put through.
Okay.
And that's kind of a distaste for evidence or for accusations and for the searching them out and seeking out the truth, an extreme distaste for the process, especially for a man that's going to sit on the highest court in America. It's frightening to think he's gotten this far with that kind of attitude.
Do you think he can possibly survive this?
I think with the current nomination, no, absolutely not. Politically, yes, I think he could.
Well, what kind of a political future would lie ahead?
I think he can return to his former job.
Uh-huh.
I think he can. He's got enough sympathizers on the right, and I think he probably has a few on the left as well. I think maybe not as many who are going to come out and admit it, but guys like him never seem to go away. They always find work.
You know, something else that bothers me that I didn't realize how much it bothered me until I was watching it yesterday, but all the senators there, I mean, they're all men for one thing, and as far as I can see, they're all white men. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, how in the world can they possibly know? You know, it's not, you have this female testifying about sexual harassment on nationwide TV, and to be honest, it really was quite inspiring to see this young black woman before the Senate talking about these things and standing up to them too, because they were trying to discredit her constantly. And I think she came out of it really well, you know, and will probably be an inspiration to many people throughout the country. I mean, I see all kinds of articles about people that are coming forward and saying, yes, they were harassed. Even Dan Quayle's wife said she was harassed, well, not by him. So it's something that is going to have side effects.
Yeah, Yeah,
a lot of side
and
effects.
It's also a testimony to the real problem that sexual harassment does play in American society, that that somebody can be so, somebody who is actually in the EEOC feel intimidated about their future. And I'm making the assumption that she is telling the truth, but nonetheless, it seems feasible and it seems understandable that somebody, even in the nation's organization that is going to attempt to invoke civil rights, even there, the scourge of sexual harassment could maintain itself.
So you think Thomas isn't telling the truth?
Have I revealed that?
Well, you seem to think that.
I do. I do seem to think that. I tell you why. And it's a bit of a prejudice, I understand. But from the very first hearings where I watched Thomas, I had an innate distrust of him, largely because of his reactions to certain questions. And I realized this isn't a very it's a very educational guess or anything like that. It's more of a knee-jerk reaction. But certain things he did during the first hearings really turned me off to him right away. And things like somebody would ask him a question, and he would put his hand on his chin, almost like an actor would do, you know, and would make himself look as if he was pondering about the subject.
I'll bet that was the White House staff that told him to do that.
Yeah, it was very predictable, and you knew what his answer was going to be. You knew he had the damn answer before he even said it, and yet here he is putting on this act as if he's momentarily pondering over it.
You know, Senator Biden was putting his head in his chin in his hands today, but it was because he had root canal. That's what I heard someplace. So that's probably why he sounded so angry all day.
Yeah, and he was gritting his teeth a bit too.
He sure was. I thought he was going to come to blows in the back room. There, maybe it did. We'd never
find
out.
Very well could have. It was a great day in television. It was a great day in American politics.
Did they broadcast the playoffs or college football anymore?
I was switching around just to see, because my CNN comes in a bit fuzzy, and yes, they broke away. Channel 4 was the first to break away to college football. Then Channel 2 broke away to the World Series.
Playoffs.
And actually, no. 4 went first. NBC went first. ABC went next.
Or where'd they go?
They went to college football.
Ah.
And then CBS was the last to go. They went to baseball. Dan Rather, with a very hoarse voice and a very angry look in his face, said that they had a contract with the.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they had to live up to it, I guess. CNN stuck it out all the way.
Uh huh. And then PBS did as well.
Right, right. One thing I was disappointed though is though, although everybody is broadcasting this, the second half of the Thomas hearings, I am a bit disappointed that USB isn't doing it on the radio, just because when I have to jump in the car for a few minutes, I have to rely on WBAI, and as I go further east on the island, it gets a lot more difficult to pick up.
Do you have an AM radio?
You know, I didn't even bother to check.
Yeah, because WCBS is airing them, too.
CBS,
and if you switch
okay.
between BAI and CBS, it's incredible the tone difference, because one's an AM station and one's an FM. It sounds like two different things.
Right.
But they are indeed covering that gavel to gavel. And I imagine the reason we're not covering it is because so many other stations are, and most people are probably watching it on television anyway.
Yeah, it's something you do have to, you really have to see on television, the facial expressions and the outbursts.
Yeah, who has time to sit in front of a television for 15 hours?
No, I actually started taping some of it for when I watch, when I, you know, get home from work and things like that.
Well, when you grow old, you know, something to look back on. This is better than the foreign hall stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. And by the way, I do say harassment. I've never really heard harassment until...
I've already taken note of that. It's possible that harassment is something that comes from another part of the country.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because how often do you talk about, you know, harassment with somebody from another part of the country?
Yeah. Maybe, who, is it a Canadian thing?
I don't think the Canadians have been remarkably quiet on this, so I don't think we're hearing that.
Oh, because I know Peter Jennings comes from Canada.
Yeah, what does he say?
Yeah, he says about, like that. You know?
Right, does he say Harris?
He says harassment, yes.
He does. Uh-huh. We have a clue here.
Yeah, so this might take us back to where we need to go.
I see. Okay, well, I don't know where we need to go, but hopefully we'll get there soon.
Let me just say one more thing Teddy Kennedy. He's been very quiet throughout.
He's been extremely quiet.
Whole thing. The one thing he said today was to basically repeat what, who was it now? Senator Metzenbaum had said about that he was not responsible for the leak. And as Teddy was doing it, he fumbled with his microphone, and actually it became dislodged from its holder, which was, I thought, rather appropriate.
Really?
I thought it was almost humorous. I think, hasn't this been somewhat of a humorous situation?
Well, I've seen some humor in it, but, of course, you know, the issue itself is not humorous.
Absolutely not.
I mean, you know, there's no reason why we can't see humor in the actual hearing itself, because, you know, otherwise we'll just be a bunch of poker-faced people, and that's no fun.
No.
So, one more time, give us your feelings on who you believe is telling the truth and why.
Okay, I believe... Well, you see, I flip-flop. I have to admit that. But I... Especially when you consider the question of motives, there are some. There has been some point brought out that she might have certain ulterior motives, but none as strong as the motives which Clarence Thomas has to maintain his quote unquote good name.
Uh-huh.
You know, with him, it's the Supreme Court nomination is riding. With her, this is something which she's been holding in for quite some time. Something which she. When she did come forward, had no expectation that it would ever really reach the public eye as boldly as it has, and something which she really didn't anticipate, so she says. So if we're going to consider motives as being the primary factor for lying or telling the truth, I find Clarence Thomas's motives to deny the charges. A bit more intense.
Uh-huh.
I tend to, and as I said, I started off disliking Clarence Thomas from the first session of hearings, and that's just the way I feel about it.
Okay.
A lot of it is gut reaction, and I think the one thing I'm looking for is some way that some proof somebody can come up with to discredit Anita Hill, and they're trying really hard, and I haven't. They haven't done it yet.
Yeah, she's not a very discreditable witness.
No, and one thing that keeps ringing back to me was from the opening of the first hearings was that I can't remember who had said it. I think maybe his Senate backer, what's his name? He had said that Clarence Thomas has an incredible sense of humor for the kind of man for a judge. He's got a really great sense of humor, and yet he can be really serious as well. And I'm sometimes beginning to wonder if that sense of humor might have been that kind of, you know, good old boy backroom locker room humor, which I'm sure gets passed around the mill.
Well, he was asked today. An example of I think a football game was given. And the senator was saying how, well, we might describe a football game differently amongst ourselves than if there were women in the room. And Thomas said, I would describe it exactly the same way, either way. And it just, I don't know, I just didn't think he was being 100% honest there.
I agree with you there. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's the kind of, he just kind of skirts the issue. He's not fully 100% honest. That was Senator Biden who had brought that up. And I thought that was very perceptive on his part. He was admitting to a human fault, or a male fault, basically, that we somehow feel that, you know, when we're a group of men, we can somehow be a little bit more abusive to the opposite sex,
right?
Or even just a little bit more suggestive or whatnot. And
but Thomas does not do this. In fact, the only thing he admitted that he ever did was not see the importance of lowering an elevator panel for a short employee. He said, that's the kind of thing that, I just didn't think about it. And that's
the extent. Very safe.
Yeah, he certainly is.
And I would respect him more if he would drop his facade and show the real Clarence Thomas.
Well, I think we're seeing the real Clarence Thomas in bits and pieces. But
bits and pieces. It's leaking out.
Yep. Yeah. All right, thanks for calling. What town are you in?
Me?
Yeah.
East Northport.
Oh, that's right. You said it already. Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
And from the Times today, speaking of harass and Harris, it started in routine fashion with the senators, all men, as commentators in every network pointed out more than once, confessing one after another, even Strom Thurmond, the conservative South Carolina Republican, that they despised sexual harassment. The accent on the second syllable seemed to have the day, despite the best efforts of Paula Zahn on CBS. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, I just wanted to first start off by saying I think it's harass, not Harris. Because isn't Harris someone's last name?
Well, yes, it's spelled differently, but Harris is a last name, and harass generally is not.
And about the Clarence Thomas hearings?
Yeah.
I don't really think it's all that important that it should be on every major network, you know, all day.
Well,
I tried to watch the 6 o'clock news on Friday on Channel 7.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't on. I mean, there's other things, I mean, local, that I want to know about. You know, what the hell? I don't want to do this all the time.
That's true. You know, to have all the stations duplicating, it does seem like a bit, you know, a bit much. But the networks can't seem to get it together as far as, you know, agreeing on who should do what. They all just want to compete with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of a thing, you know, this is not like the regular boring hearings. These hearings are exciting. People want to watch them, so they want to. I don't know why somebody would watch one network over another when they're just all covering the same thing. There's no real point. You'll just hear Peter Jennings, you know, saying the senators' names instead of Tom Brokaw, but, you know, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch PBS and watch everybody get all disorganized.
No, I, you know, in my opinion, I really don't care. I mean, it shouldn't make a difference. I mean, as long as the guy, if he's going to be Supreme Court judge, as long as he puts all his personal feelings in the back room while he's doing his job, it shouldn't really matter.
Well,
I don't think, you know, talking about a porno movie or something is sexual harassment. If he, you know, went up to the girl and told her he wanted to grab her rear end or touch her breast or something.
I think he's being accused of doing things like that. He hasn't ever, no one's saying he touched anybody, but he did do some suggestive things. Let's see if I can get some actual, yeah. After a brief discussion of work, he returned the conversation to a discussion of sexual matters. His conversations were very vivid. He spoke about acts that he had seen in pornographic films involving such matters as women having sex with animals and films showing group sex or rape scenes. So, and also the pubic hair on my Coke remark, you know, this might rub people the wrong way and make working environments kind of unpleasant.
I mean, it's not harassment. I mean, it's not like he said, you know, give me a BJ or you won't get a promotion, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, that's most definitely another step of harassment. But imagine, you know, if you're in fear for your job and you've got this, you know, this boss that keeps making sexual innuendos. I know it's hard, you know, as a male for you to see how it feels as a female. But it must be something really, really horrible to have to go through.
Yeah.
So, anyway, is your vote for Thomas or for Hill?
I kind of lean toward Thomas, but I think they're both, like, kind of, like, making stuff up.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I don't know, Thomas seems to be more like, you know, all right, I didn't, you know, really do anything. But the way he's talking, some of the stuff sounds like he's covering it up. And the same thing with her. She seems to be covering up more, like she was, like, told to say this. You know? And, like, the one guy brought up something about Kennedy, how he was, like, fumbling with his microphone.
Yeah.
What the hell is that guy doing there?
I
know he's a senator and everything, but this guy's got all sorts of scandals on top of him. Who is he to judge somebody right now? He's no Mr. Perfect.
That's definitely a good point. Nobody there is, it's probably completely clean on any of this.
And you were both saying that he was, you know, acting kind of quiet and everything. And, you know, the girl was, the one senator, I don't know which one it was, said something about the line, about the pubic hair and the coke.
Uh-huh.
From a porno movie.
Yeah.
And, like, it's some of the things, like I said, sounds like she's being coached on what to say. And Kennedy seems like the type of person that watches some of these porno movies. So maybe he's the one who told her.
Why would anybody tell her to say a line from a pornographic film?
No, well, not exactly to tell that exact line, but, you know, something along those lines to, you know, because to make it sound better, you know?
Uh-huh. And maybe, you know, nobody's exploring this. Maybe somebody did put pubic hair in his Coke, and that's a question of who did it.
Yeah, maybe. Wasn't me.
That's something I'd like to find out.
That's true.
So, anyway, it sounds like you believe Thomas more than you believe Hill.
Yeah, more or less.
Okay, and it sounds like you also say harass more than you say Harris.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, and I want to just ask you one, well, just bring up two little things really fast.
Okay.
First, I want to ask you if there's, like, an address, like, or I could send you stuff, like, not, like, dirty stuff, just, like thought-provoking information and photographs.
Yes, there is.
And another thing I wanted to say, I went to Burger King today. It's really had nothing to do about it. I got one of these free Coca-Cola cups, and it kind of says, enjoy Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you have to enjoy it. You can't just
have it. What if you don't like it?
That's not going to hold up in a court. You have to enjoy it.
If
you're not planning to enjoy it, I suggest you not get it.
Well,
nobody's making you get it, but once you get it, you better enjoy it.
Well, I personally like Coke, but I mean...
Well, liking isn't enough. It doesn't say like Coke. It says enjoy.
Well, yeah, okay? But enjoy is a strong... enjoy this or not, you know?
Yeah, but it's, you know, you play by the rules or you don't play. Okay? It's as simple as that.
Well, can I have the address?
All right. Brain Damage Care of WUSB.
Yeah.
State University at Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
Wait. Can you, like, repeat half?
Sure, I'll be happy to repeat it. That's Brain Damage Care of WUSB, Stony Brook. State University at Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
Okie doke.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Mike, you have any feelings on this?
Feelings?
Yeah, you know what we're talking about, right?
I might want to one day become a Supreme Court judge, so I can't tell you.
if you actually become a Supreme Court judge, well, I guess this page of the Times will be you, and this page of the Times will be me testifying.
Yeah,
all the secrets I know.
Every day I go to work, I just can't say anything anymore.
So you think there's as much harassment or harassment going on in various places?
I think what everything she said is probably true.
Uh-huh.
But when he did it, it was probably really casual and no big deal to either of them.
Uh-huh.
But probably a big deal to her. But she felt uncomfortable talking about it, and he thought it was okay.
So if that's true, then is he not lying now?
Well,
by saying nothing happened.
I bet he's lying through his teeth. He decided either he had to resign, you know, quit the attempt to be a Supreme Court judge, or lie it, you know, cover up 100%, say it never ever ever happened.
So if you think that that there was some joking around going on, and he said, yeah, this happened, but it was no big deal, that nobody was hurt, and there was no hard feelings, and I had no idea that that she felt this way.
But he can't say that now.
But if he had said that from the outset, do you think...
Then he would lose.
Then
he would lose, because you can't say, I didn't mean it, 10 years later, when he was chair of the EEC. So he's history.
So you think he's not going to make it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he shouldn't have made it for reasons.
Yeah.
Three weeks ago,
but
I didn't like
those reasons were not enough.
No, now we have reasons that have nothing to do with the politics of why he's there.
Right. And that's.
And now we'll get someone else who has politics just like him, and we'll be stuck with him.
Yeah,
or her.
It's going to take another several months.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have a short staff Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty incredible. Have you been watching the hearings?
Yeah, it's fun. It's better than the cartoons in the morning.
Yeah, you know, Peter Jennings had to come on the air today and say to the kids, sorry, your cartoons aren't going to be on, but why don't you stick around and watch the hearings? Don't worry about the language. You'll learn something. Shut up and listen.
Yeah, I slept through that, but I heard about it.
I never thought I'd hear language like this in the Senate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People talking about sexual organs and, you know, size of sexual organs and things like that.
Yeah.
Tell me, do you think these two can ever, you know, forgive each other? Do you think they'll ever be friends?
No.
You think he's going to hold a grudge?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he looked pretty shaken up this afternoon.
Yeah. I guess, you know, whatever relationship they had is over between them. That's no question about that. Okay, 632-6901. Thanks for stopping in and lending your opinion on that. I'd like to hear from female people. I haven't heard from a single female tonight, so there must be, since, you know, this is a male-female kind of a thing, I'd sure like to hear from that side of it, you know? 632-6901. Very important side. Good evening.
Yeah, I called before. I am not a Thurman Thomas supporter.
That's Clarence Thomas.
How come I keep saying that?
I don't know. You keep thinking of Strong Thurman or Thurman Munson or something like that. I don't know.
Pretty odd name, too.
Oh. Yeah, so wait. You're not a Thomas supporter.
Oh, I just feel sorry for the guy.
Okay, and I marked you down as a Thomas supporter.
Yeah, you did. You know what I think is odd?
What's that?
That he's, like, acting so promiscuous and, like, trying to be promiscuous but being shot down, basically, and that he's against abortion. Supposedly. Well, everybody
that's,
thinks he is.
That's kind of interesting, but it certainly wouldn't be the first time.
That's true, but I don't know. It just like seems like he's trying to have sex with a lot of women, but he doesn't want them to have abortions if they get pregnant.
That's
they have to have all his children, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I wonder how many of his children are running around.
Well, that'd be something if, you know, if a child born out of wedlock suddenly appeared.
Yeah, maybe his name would be Thurman.
That may be. That could explain your confusion.
Yeah, it could be.
But, okay, so you want me to erase you as a, well, actually the question was, who do you believe? And basically, you know, one of them is lying, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to make a decision, all right? Pretend you're a senator on this panel here. You've got to decide who is lying and who is telling the truth.
She probably is.
Okay, then I have to mark you down as believing Thomas.
No, I mean, she's probably telling the truth.
Oh, she's probably telling the truth. Okay, well, that's a horse of a different color, then.
It is.
So right now we have, if my count is correct, three Thomas supporters. Three people who believe Thomas and two people who believe Hill.
There you go.
All right. Let's see what other people think out there.
Hey, have a good day.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, area code 516 for people in Connecticut and our listeners over in Wisconsin. And we're talking about the Thomas hearings, who you believe is telling the truth and why, and also how you pronounce the word harass or Harris or whatever. We have a couple of open lines, so please make those lines light up like a Christmas tree. This is a subject that's on everybody's mind throughout the whole country. It's incredible. You know, this doesn't happen very often, and it's rare that I get to do a radio show when something so controversial is going on. I mean, I think this may even beat Iran-Contra for the fact that everybody is watching, you know. Yeah, everybody saw Ollie North, but come on, what was he talking about? He was talking about, you know, military arms shipments. Now, most people can't identify with military arms shipments, but everybody can identify with sex or you know, harassment of some sort or personal lives, office environments, that kind of thing. And that's also another question we're asking tonight. Do you see sexual harassment in your job? Or have you seen other places of employment where there's sexual harassment going on? Don't name the places. We don't want that. But we do want to know if it's as commonplace as the papers are making it out to be. 632-6901. Good evening. Go ahead. Is anybody there? You know, it's so sad when people fall asleep on the phone. Good evening.
Yeah, I'm definitely against Clarence Thomas. He's a liar and a total jerk.
Uh-huh.
So go Hill.
Yeah.
Definitely telling the truth, and like they pointed out in Congress today, why would she lie? She's not gaining anything from this. If anything, she's hurting herself.
Uh-huh.
From coming forward.
Is there anything Thomas has said that would lead you to believe he's not telling the truth?
Well, I mean, first of all, he keeps, like today they were asking him if he's ever been over her house. He said he was only there once, and, you know, I mean, just inconsistencies. He won't answer anything. He just keeps saying, I've been deeply hurt by this. My family's been deeply hurt. Well, tough luck, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't deserve to be on the court. He has, like, a year experience as a judge. He totally neglected his duties in EEOC. You know, so he doesn't deserve to be there in the first place. And if this is the way to get him out, then he deserves to be out.
Have you been watching the hearings on TV?
On and off. I listen to them often on the radio.
What did you think of Anita Hill's testimony?
Oh, I think she was incredibly, I believed her. I think she's incredibly intelligent, very plausible, very believable, and she handled herself really well considering, you know, the pressure that she was under, unlike Clarence Thomas, who was, like, flying off the handle today.
Yeah, and yesterday, too.
Yeah.
He was really very bitter. I mean, I could see somebody being angry, but some of the things he said, I don't know, he just, I can't see people in the Supreme Court saying that the whole system stinks and, you know, you're not supposed to say that, even if you do believe it. It's just that kind of thing. So are you aware of much, you're our first female caller, are you aware of much harassment on the job?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of sexual harassment on the job for women.
Uh-huh. Can you try to explain that to a lot of the male callers or male listeners, and me too, being a male? You know, what is it that we are not getting? What do we not see as males? You know, we can't possibly identify in the same way.
Okay. Well, the thing, it's not any individual man's fault per se. It's that women are viewed as an object in this society. So it's okay, you know, to give a little slap on the ass or make a comment. You know, it's just considered okay, but this is sexual harassment. This makes a woman feel, you know, it's demeaning, and it makes you feel uncomfortable on the job. But men just don't, most men anyway, don't seem to understand that this is sexual harassment, that you can't just come up to me and put your hand on my thigh and ask me for a cup of coffee. This, you know.
Uh-huh. And what do you see as an appropriate response to something like that?
What a woman should do?
Yes.
Oh, you know, slap in the face, you know. That's appropriate to me.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, in a working situation, right, if you have a, you know, a boss, they generally take a dim view of being slapped in the face. So, you know, is there something else that, you know, say somebody has a job and they don't want to lose their job and they're thinking to themselves, well, you know, is this really so bad? I'm not really being, you know, being molested or anything like that. I can maybe put up with this if it means getting, you know, not losing my job. And I think that's what Anita Hill is saying. She didn't file any kind of complaint because it would not have been worth it. And everybody is saying that they wouldn't file a complaint either because there's no way she could have won anything. So what do people do?
Well, I mean, I definitely relate to her situation that, you know, she was, like she says, 25 years old, fresh out of law school. But I think that what it would have been appropriate for her to do is to, you know, tell Clarence that this is inappropriate and it's not professional behavior and she'd appreciate if he stopped. And I think that she should have told more people about what happened. This way, if he did fire her or whatever, then they could have said, yeah, she did inform me that he was harassing her on the job.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It's not, you know, you would tell your close friends, I would imagine, but you wouldn't, you know, go telling your parents or anybody about that
no.
kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be any more witnesses. Although tomorrow is the day when they're going to be witnesses for both sides. This should be very interesting because you won't see Thomas, you won't see Hill, but you will see all these people that claim to know them and know who they really are. You might see some interesting accusations flying around.
Definitely.
And who is the other woman that's making accusations too?
Oh, Miss Jarvis, I think her name is. She worked for Clarence also, and he fired her. So he says that the reason now she's stepping forward with the accusations is because, you know, she has some deep personal grudge.
Yeah, and as Senator Orrin Hatch said, she'll have her ass handed to her. I cannot believe he said that. Did you see that in the Daily News?
Mm-hmm.
And did he really say that, or are they just making that up?
Well, I don't see how they can make it up, but it's you know, typical congressional tactics. You know.
Uh-huh. But I mean, isn't that kind of like a sexist thing in itself?
It is. Know? It's extremely sexist.
I mean, nobody's talking about Clarence Thomas's ass. Are they? I haven't seen mention of it once. I've seen mention of another organ of his, but not that. So I don't know. I think that should be addressed too. And I think there's a lot of sexism, and we have to ask ourselves why. How many people are on this panel anyway? You know, they're all white males. You know, how many female senators are there? How many are there? One? Two?
One.
One, okay.
One.
That's, you know, there's something wrong, because I know there's more than one female for every 100 males, you know, or 99 males.
Yeah.
And there's something wrong with that. And it's a bigger picture that we have to be looking at. Yeah, Clarence Thomas may be a symptom of a problem, but, you know, it's not the whole problem right there, is it?
No, it's not. It's the whole society is just built in sexism and racism.
That's for sure. One final question. You say it harass or Harris?
I say harass.
Okay. It's almost, it's unanimous for harass.
I think it's those Midwestern people.
It must
Harris.
Be. It must be, because everybody around here seems to say harass. And some people claim that they never heard anybody say Harris before yesterday, I believe.
Hey, me neither.
Yeah.
Come
to
think of it.
That's something. Okay, well, I want to thank you for calling. Where are you calling from?
Stony Brook, definitely.
All right. Well, keep watching those hearings.
All right.
Best thing on.
Bye.
All right. 632-6901, talking about the Clarence Thomas fiasco. And boy, you know, it's something when you expect something to turn out a certain way and it doesn't. It just goes completely crazy. That's always when you see people at their most interesting. You see human reactions on nationwide TV coming to you live. You know, the first hearings were very disappointing because they didn't address anything. And here we have real issues being addressed, really clinically, on nationwide TV, and there's no getting around it. You know, no matter how many Bible Belt people are going around saying, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that, well, everybody's saying it, and there's just no two ways about it. Let's take a quick look at today's newspaper, see what they say here. Our telephone number is 632-6901, though, and I would like to see all five lines get lit, because this is the most interesting topic of the year, I think. And I sure would like to see a strong response. So if you're going to call, call now. 632-6901, area code 516. And Clarence Thomas, angry and bitter at Anita Hill and the senators who allowed her to testify. Hey, that's good. Three lines. We have two more to go. Two more callers. 632-6901. He categorically denied her charges and accused the Senate of conducting a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way think for themselves. You know, that still rubs me the wrong way. He never used any language like that before. He never even referred to himself as you know, as being... I mean, yeah, he referred to himself as being black, but it wasn't this kind of talk. You know, talk of lynch mobs and things like that. Thomas said he had not watched Hill's often shockingly graphic day-long testimony. How could he not watch it? If somebody was on nationwide TV testifying about you, you wouldn't watch it? You know, I don't understand that. The testimony alleged that he not only asked her out on dates, but often forced her to listen to vivid descriptions of pornographic movies while she was his subordinate at the Department of Education and later at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Hill said that in the offices of the federal government, he had bragged about the length of his penis, his abilities at oral sex, and had made a remark about a pubic hair on his Coca-Cola, which is a mystery of the century here. Behavior, she said, was intended to humiliate and degrade her and ultimately to get her into bed. Thomas opened the day with a sometimes angry, sometimes anguished description, a description that moved even his most ardent critics of all he had been through since the allegations were first aired. But he returned last night to the Senate stage in an angrier mood, seemingly no longer afraid or even concerned about impressing or alienating his judges in the U.S. Senate. He was a different man from the smiling nominee who had been so obliging in his first round of testimony last month that some accused him of saying only what he thought they wanted to hear. Like Hill, Thomas used the word disgusting. But while she was referring to his alleged actions toward her, he was referring to the confirmation process, calling the hearing a circus and a national disgrace. And one by one, he responded to the questions from his friend, Senator Orrin Hatch. "Did you say anything to her about having pubic hair in my Coke?" asked Hatch. "No, Senator." "Did you discuss with her your private parts?" "No, Senator," he said emphatically. "Did you brag about your sexual prowess?" "No, Senator." And Hatch, who is a Mormon who rarely uses off-color language, asked Thomas if he ever discussed with her a pornographic movie star named Long Dong Silver. I can't believe they're saying these things in the Senate. And Thomas said that he had not discussed that pornographic movie star with her. And that is incredible. Also, Thomas said he sometimes drove Hill home when she worked for him in Washington, would occasionally, and this is a quote, "stop in and have a Coke or a beer or something and continue arguing about politics for maybe 45 minutes to an hour, but I never thought anything of it." And he also can't remember if he ever installed a stereo there. That's what bothers me, you know? If he just would remember small details like that. If you can't remember small details, either you have a bad memory or you are hiding something. Especially something like this. 632-6901. Who do you believe and who is the liar? Good evening.
Yeah, I called up before.
Yeah?
For a Thomas supporter.
Yeah?
I just wanted to change that to a neutral. Because, like, I started to say, but I don't think I made it as clear as I should have. That, like, I really don't believe either one of them because they're, like, just, like, covering their own asses, I think.
So you were a Thomas supporter. You'd like to withdraw that and just be a neutral person.
I don't care either way.
Okay. You don't care either way. That brings it down to two Thomas supporters and three Anita supporters.
Well, sounds pretty even to me.
Okay, we're going to go on to another call then.
Sure thing.
All right. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yes, this bullshit happened in 19...
Sorry, we can't have that kind of language on the... Good evening.
Oh, hi, Eric.
What's up?
Oh, yeah, I just... but what do you think about the new longer letters that are coming out? And where can I get a post office bus to accommodate such longer letters?
I don't know, but there's certain legal requirements, I know that.
What?
Certain legal requirements that you do not want to violate.
It's a long letter the other night.
I'm sorry?
You didn't get a very long letter?
I've gotten some strange bits of mail. Let's just put it that way.
Long?
Let's just put it that way. have you already called?
No, this is Mike.
Okay. Do you want to cast a vote?
For nothing, but anyway, I just heard you on here. I thought to say hello.
Okay. Well, do you want to cast a vote?
No, I'm not. Well, don't know enough about it to have an opinion.
Okay, so... You don't believe either of them, or you believe both of them, or you don't really care?
Oh, no, I don't know. I just don't know enough to have an opinion.
Uh-huh.
I have to say.
Okay.
I want to make sure you got my letter.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Have a good day.
You too. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yes, hi. I'd like to, Judge Thomas, please.
Okay, could you repeat that?
Yeah. I believe in Judge Thomas as a woman. Only because I believe in his issues, which I think we should stick to. And also, I believe that if she had legitimate allegations against him, which may be true, maybe not true, but she did not file a report 10 years ago, 11 years ago, something. She did not follow through with any, and she was a graduate, a law student, a law graduate from Yale. She told me why she did not proceed with anything. And she invited him to her university recently as a guest speaker. Not to sexually harass somebody and they repay you kindly in this way doesn't make any sense.
Well, now, do you think it's possible for somebody to do you an injustice, to treat you unfairly, and yet you still try to be their friend?
Possibly, of course. But we're talking over a period of 10 years. It took her 10 years to get mad. First of all, he was not only recommended for the appellate court, you know, a few years ago. She didn't speak up then. She didn't speak up quite a few times when he was nominated for something that is all political to get into, where she had the opportunity to. Now, all of a sudden, she has the opportunity again, and now she speaks out 10 years later.
So your main problem with it is that the timing of it.
Well, the timing, and why didn't she file something? I know as a woman, if I was certainly sexually harassed, I would file a complaint.
Uh-huh.
Or make a note. Something. There would be something documented. She did nothing. And she's a Yale University graduate.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand that.
That is a good point.
File charges 10 years later, and also... That there is due process of law, I understand that, and also the statute of limitations, which is 20 times the statute of limitations. She's a lawyer. She knows that now she comes out, it's hearsay. It comes down to hearsay. If she's a lawyer and she's a woman, stick to the issue, fight for your rights. It's 20 times the statute of limitations. Do something when the time is right.
Now, do you think it's good, all the publicity that's suddenly being drawn to this issue?
I think the issue is wonderful, all the attention that's being drawn to, because sexual harassment is terrible. I've never had it happen to me, but I think it's an awful thing. But in her case, I think she gives women almost a bad name because she did not follow. She did not pursue it. She did not do anything. And then she asked him as a guest lecturer to her young students. She's a professor of law, as a guest speaker. So what is that telling me? That's a double standard. She asked him as a guest speaker. I'm sure he was paid well for it. And she also, obviously right there, she admires him. Then she calls him in 6 to 7 years later, sexual harassment. It just does not make sense. Does that make sense to you?
Well, you know, it doesn't say to me that it didn't happen. No, it doesn't make sense.
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Right.
Honestly, honestly, as a person, I think it probably happened. I think he probably did it. But I don't think he can be accused of it and suffer for it 10 years after the fact.
Okay,
she should have done something 10 years ago.
But if you, if you're saying that you believe what she says actually happened, then aren't you saying that what Thomas is doing right now is lying to Congress?
Well, no, because there's no way. I think that she's probably lying much more so than he is. I think they're both lying.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's a crime, you know.
That is not the crime. It's sexual harassment. He did not do anything much more than verbalize his feelings to her or his comments to her, which is sexual harassment. I understand that. But why did not she do something then? Why does she have to wait 10 years? And I believe that being in his position is if they're going to scrutinize his every day, even though it was 10 years ago.
Well, you know, I think I can understand why somebody wouldn't do something then, but I think...
Verbalization.
I think you have a good point, though, in saying
why
didn't she come forward for his other nominations? That's something...
Yes.
That's a very good point.
I don't understand. And it's not like she's an ignorant... you know, person or in a lowly position where she'd be afraid about being fired. She, and then after he started these sexual harassments, apparently, allegedly, and then she followed him to a new position. She didn't try and look for a new job. She followed right underneath his wing, and he helped her with the bar exam, and he gave her promotions. They had no affair, nothing, according to both of them. But I just think that she filed no charges, and all of a sudden, 10 years later, where all these lobbyists and everybody else is against him, the NAACP, and then all of a sudden, she remembers, oh, well, he sexually abused me. He verbalized things to me, and I didn't like it. And he watched pornography movies when he was in law school, and he verbalized that to me. Do you think there's a strong case? Would you like that case against you?
Well, it's if it wasn't true, I certainly would. Well, you know, either way, I guess I wouldn't like it.
Now, you wouldn't like it, but how could you prove yourself innocent?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe.
Well,
that's
supposedly what's going to happen tomorrow. Our character witnesses.
Law school, yes, and maybe I said a few things that weren't correct. But it's amazing. All his other law aides, women. All the years that he worked with, they never had a problem with him. This is the only one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, you got to give the guy a fair shake, too. And it was 10 years ago. It's 20 times past
statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations.
Right.
20 times.
Well, you know, the thing is...
I think you got to give due process of the law a credit. And you must give the law credit. And I understand this man is going to be put in highest position. But if we're going to knock him down, do it with legitimate reasons.
Okay, we're also learning a lot about him by the way he handles this, too. And I think that's something that's very legitimate.
Reducing this man in front of all of America to nothing.
Well, it's kind of a charade, I guess.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he did do it. But if he did do it, make a statement. I know myself, if I was sexually harassed from a job, verbally, anything else, I would at least go down and have a file put in this man's letter, or a woman, or whoever, in their folder, personnel, I would make sure everybody knew about it and had a copy of it.
And hopefully lots of people throughout the country are learning that.
Yes, but as Judge Thomas said, hopefully by him going through this, nobody else will have to. you know, and nobody else ever here will ever have to go through this again. Unjust, because you can always fight it. He cannot fight. How do you prove yourself innocent 10 years after the fact, supposedly, against statements that you might have said? How do you prove yourself innocent? It's near to impossible. The only thing you can do is be a character witness for yourself and have people around you speak highly of you, which he has done. How do you prove yourself innocent? And like he said tonight was he thinks the only positive thing that's come out of this trial is that nobody else should ever go through this again. I think it's disgusting, the whole trial.
What do you think is...
They're not sticking to the issue. They're not even asking him questions about sexual harassment. They're wondering how to conduct this near trial. It's not a trial, but they're wondering how to conduct it.
Let me ask you one more question. What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to get the nomination.
You do?
But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked, and I would not be shocked if he refused it.
And that would be interesting. Appellate judge. That would be amazing.
Lifetime guarantee as an appellate judge. He doesn't need the promotion, and that's a lifetime also.
But why would he refuse it if he already won?
Excuse me?
Why would he refuse it if he already got the nomination, you know?
I wouldn't be shocked, and I think he'd probably take it, but what he's gone through, I think, is unnecessary. To all these hearings about charges with absolutely no evidence about what happened 10 years ago, verbal things, well, there's no witnesses, there's no files, there's no notes, she didn't tell her friends about it, there's nothing. If I was felt sexually harassed in the job, let me tell you something, I would tell everybody I would have a letter in this man's file. I would certainly fight. That's the only good thing that has come out of this. Women will not stay quiet anymore.
Let's hope not, because...
Because it is a serious charge. But if you're not charged with something, and then suddenly 10 years later, says, well, 10 years ago he said this to me. Well, come on. You wait 10 years to say that? And he was also nominated for so many different judgeships along the way. You don't just become Supreme Court Justice nominee overnight. You have to work your way up there. She never said a word. And you have to go through hearings and everything. She never was there. She never said a word.
Can I ask a question? Why do you think she's doing this?
I have no idea. As Judge Thomas said, I have no idea.
Do you think someone's pulling her strings?
Well, personally, yeah. I do. NAACP, somebody. I'm not accusing somebody of doing it, but I think somebody. There's so many lobbyists against him. So many. And they probably just don't want, there's so many lobbyists, so many major organizations that do not want him. And I'm not saying that I believe them, saying it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
From Fire Island.
Fire Island?
Yeah, Long Cove Fire Island.
Hey, that's good. That's good. How's the weather out there?
It's wonderful. So beautiful.
There aren't very many people there now, are there?
Well, my husband and my dog.
On the whole island?
Well, there's only 6 houses here.
Uh-huh.
Yep, gotta drive your truck.
Well, that's great. I'm glad there's people down there listening to us.
But we're listening. It's just something home, but we're listening to you all the time.
Okay, thanks for calling. Thanks. Good night.
All right, good night.
632-6901, Fire Island. Now, that's impressive. That's impressive. If you're calling from an impressive sounding place, you know, out east, up in Connecticut, strange little hamlets of Long Island that people don't really hear about very often, give us a call and express your opinion, because that's what we are here for. We're here for you to speak out and voice your opinions. Nobody else really gives you that chance, and that's what we want to do here. We're only on for a few more minutes, so give us a call. 632-6901. We're talking about the hearings, obviously, which I'm sure everybody has passed by at least once on TV, if not for a lot longer. It's on a lot of radio stations. And, of course, it's in all the newspapers. Who do you think is telling the truth? Somebody's not telling the truth. Somebody is a liar. What do you think should happen to that person? And do you think Thomas will get in ultimately? And if not, what will be the repercussions? And, of course, the harassment issue. Do people feel harassed sexually or any other way in their places of employment, and what's the proper reaction? Good evening.
Hi, I called before. I'd like to comment on what the woman just said right now.
Okay.
First of all, let's get one thing straight. Miss Hill did not go to the Senate. The FBI, when doing a background check on Clarence Thomas and a lot of the staff of the senators, when they were running their background checks, called her. And then she told them that they made these remarks. She never said it was sexual harassment. She told them. Them to decide. So for people to say that she has a hidden agenda or an ulterior motive, is absolutely ridiculous. They came to her and
our
asked her, what was this guy like? And
that
she told them the truth.
Association
now,
is a milestone in the development of the Chinese
sure
security.
Sure they do. Remember Ginsburg?
China
he didn't
began
get
to
the
issue Chinese treasury bonds in 1981.
You know, in the past.
By the end of 1980, China had issued securities valued at an estimated 210 billion yuan. So far, about 90% of large and medium-sized securities in China have opened
stock
markets. 59 securities companies and over 300 securities exchanges are now in operation.
That's all I really have to say.
In November 1990, Shanghai and the Shenzhen Special Economic Zone were allowed to establish stock exchanges.
Guo
Jintian, chairman of the first session of the SEC, says the establishment of this association is a significant event in China's ongoing reforms and open door policy.
Happened at midnight.
Guo Jintian says the SEC aims to implement the country's securities policy, laws, and regulations, reach the governments with securities institutions, maintain the legitimate interests of members, develop and improve the securities market system with Chinese characteristics.
It's always hot in this building.
The first group of SEC members include 160 institutional members.
Well, we
40
have,
individual
we have,
members.
I see one phone call there, but, you know, I feel like to see another phone call.
It's
inconceivable that someone else out there has an opinion of Clarence Thomas. That hasn't called before?
Guo Jintian
says
all stock
before?
Exchanges,
okay,
securities firms,
saying,
financial institutions, and other institutions
yes,
authorized by securities, regulatory agencies, can apply for institutional membership of the association. Senior officials, experts, and other staff in the industry can apply for individual membership.
Who do you believe?
The chairman adds, however,
Mike,
the problem still exists in the operation
and
management of the stock
think,
market in
you think
China.
This guy Clarence Thomas is committing
a
murder?
Yes.
He made a decision to either quit or go on and to go on with perjury.
There are a few different types of bonds.
Yeah.
Industry
that's,
staff are not sufficiently qualified and communication
facilities are chairing EC. He knew about how people get away with how not to get away with it.
Guo Jintian says the association will conduct
private.
The radical study focusing on establishing China's securities market.
And now she decided she couldn't
he
hold
says
it in anymore.
The association will organize a seminar in mid-October on the development
of
the stock market. Study courses for scholars, experts, and various personnel.
Well, I mean,
and investigate securities
thinking,
exchanges in Shanghai and Shenzhen. He says the SEC will also help the government draw up mid- and long-term development plans for the industry. He asked that the association will concentrate on training personnel and set up a system for checking the qualifications
of
securities
not
officials.
Until either Thomas
the chairman says
the
association will organize exchanges with overseas securities officials. The SEC will exchange related information regularly with foreign security associations.
We'll
also send some Chinese securities officials abroad for visits, study, and training.
When I'm
foreign securities
out
experts will be invited to come to China
right?
to give lectures
and
seminars.
She never came forward. And
for Radio Beijing, I'm
no one thinks that she has anything to do with being paid by anyone in the Senate to get rid of this man.
Over the next 5 years, the Beijing municipal government will improve health care for the area's 4 million farmers.
Now, people say these
the Beijing
health
bureau told Radio Beijing's Lan Ling That move is responding to the
Clarence
call
Thomas is a great
by
man.
The
okay,
states
maybe
for
he
improved
is.
House work yeah. in rural
He's
areas.
He's got a great voice, I'll say that. He yeah. should be on radio.
The Beijing
yeah.
municipal government aims to reduce
by Reagan,
the mortality
with all the
rate of pregnant women and infants
so
in the countryside by 10 to 20% from the current figures of 4 and 2, respectively, per 10,000 in 5 years' time.
Well,
the present immunization program will be further expanded to reach over 95% of the rural children.
And,
rural residents will be provided
you know,
with better
choice.
Quality water and educated about
now.
Proper food storage and preparation so as to lessen the risk of disease and food poisoning. Also, tougher regulations will soon require new township industrial projects to provide safer
okay.
working
well,
conditions.
We're going to have nothing but 13, issues in the
Deputy
future.
Director of the Beijing Health Bureau
stresses
the necessity of improved health care for Beijing's rural population.
Is it time already? I guess it is.
Shijing says that Beijing is often thought of as
a
large city.
Take a step
however,
out of the real
it has
world
a rural population of almost 4 million. Although rural health work has improved under the economic reforms, it still doesn't satisfy the farmers' needs. Shijing says during the past 5 years, Beijing's suburban counties have invested 17 million yuan expanding and improving medical facilities. There are now 30 medical institutes at county level and 4,000 village clinics. Schools and institutes in Beijing have helped train 11,000 health workers for the rural areas.
Good morning.
But problems still exist. A lack of well-trained medical staff and facilities prevent effective treatment. They are often the main factor in the cause of death of pregnant women and infants, Shijing says. The Beijing government's aim to improve the situation has won the support of county governments under it. This year, counties of Huairou and Yanqing will allocate 50,000 yuan each to help village clinics. Pingpu County plans to train at least 100 village doctors, and 40% of the villages in Fangshan County are expected to re-establish a cooperative medical care system. This system requires the farmers to contribute funds to the village clinics, which
think
will then treat patients free and for a nominal fee.
What's for lunch?
The Beijing government continues to encourage urban hospitals to send staff to grassroots levels
well.
To help train personnel.
We get some phone calls, we'll take
more than
20
major urban hospitals and medical institutes
call,
have
of,
already
Judge
signed
Thomas.
Cooperative agreements with hospitals or clinics in rural areas to do so. For Little Beijing, I'm Johnny.
China is a country that merits the name the Kingdom of Bicycles. For the Chinese, bicycles are an inseparable part of their daily lives. But even bikes go wrong and have to be repaired. Radio Beijing's Yuan Fang reports on a roadside bicycle repair stall which offers service free of charge.
The bicycle repair stall is situated in Hulujie Street in Beijing's East District. Shadowed by an old Chinese scholar tree, it's a busy place all year round, especially on Sundays and at noon. Several young people in their early 20s from the Beijing Fire Control Bureau manage the stall in their spare time and offer free bicycle repair services to passersby. This woman is having a puncture made. She says she's always deeply touched whenever she passes by and sees a young man bending over bicycles. She recalls that even if it is raining or snowing, the stall is always open. A man has stopped at the stall because he has a faulty brake. The man says that although there are thousands of bicycle repair stores in the city, he has never come across one like this, that not only offers such good service, but also never asks a fee. He says he's deeply touched by the young people's spirit of serving the people and believes that kind of spirit cannot bought or sold. The young people have managed the store for nearly 3 years without a day's interruption. Wang Zhanjun is busy mending a tire. Wang Zhanjun says that they started the store just because they want to offer some kind of service to passersby. They often see some people having trouble with their bicycles and unable to find a repair store. 22-year-old Liu Zhanshuang is one of those who took the initiative in setting up the store.
看那群众的理解，就是人家说都挺支持、挺信赖人，有的人好像。
Liu Zhanshuang says the local people support their store very much. When they are busy repairing bikes in unbearable hot weather, the local people often buy them ice cream. When they injure their fingers, someone will always help them bandage it. He says they're deeply moved and encouraged by the people who come to them. He adds that the bureau leaders also give them a great deal of support. They often receive donations of spare parts from the local neighborhood committees and retired carters, as well as from local residents. Since they started the store, they have repaired nearly 10,000 bicycles. He says as long as they have the support and understanding of the local people, the store will continue the services free of charge. For Radio Beijing, I'm Yan Fang.
Can you imagine that someone has survived a three-year coma during which the only sign of her life was her heartbeat and breathing? Well, this is exactly what has happened to a woman in Nanjing. She has not only recovered her health, but also her memory and speech. Kang Jian reports.
In April 1988, 44-year-old Wang Weiying, an electrician, fell off a 2-meter-high platform
going on in the minds of people now.
She was immediately rushed
right
to
now,
a nearby hospital.
I bet Clarence Thomas is dreaming
about
something.
After days of rescue efforts,
you know?
Doctors managed to save her life.
Actually, no, he's not going
to
be testifying
tomorrow,
I don't think. And according to the papers, he doesn't watch
bleeding,
other people's testimony about him. He didn't watch Anita Hill. He's not going to watch tomorrow. He's going to go to a football game or something. I don't know.
And was diagnosed as a comatose patient.
Doesn't seem to take much of an interest in...
The term comatose patient refers
reaction,
to someone
anyway,
who remains in a state of unconsciousness.
Let's see who else is out
the
there. 632-6901.
Carry out other bodily functions.
Maybe we'll take a visit over to the Supreme
the
Court.
The patient
who knows?
Normally dies from complications
Go ahead.
Because he or she
Listen, let me
does
cast
not
my
have
vote
the ability
Thomas.
To respond
okay.
to treatment.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from
Two
Port
months
Jeff.
Later,
Port Jeff,
Wang
and what do you like about Thomas?
To
Why
the
do you
Nanjing
believe
Railway
well,
Medical Institute Cerebral Surgical Department
uh-huh.
for
He'll
further
make
treatment.
A very, very good justice.
Her doctor, Li Yaohua, says the hospital
well,
worked out
does.
A four-step treatment
make him a bit of a
plan for her.
Well, yeah, but it's still the same. You've got to have the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah,
you
know,
you have the set up there.
The doctor says the first step was to ensure proper nutritional intake as Wang Weiying was extremely weak.
She would have made more money if she told
the second step was
to
prevent complications.
Well, I mean, I guess that's not out of the question, but you think she's lying then?
Yeah.
The third step was to administer Western
for?
And traditional Chinese medicine
gain by
to
why?
Boost the growth of the
judgeship.
Patient's brain
a
cells
judgeship?
And
yeah.
thus restore her ability to control her bodily function.
Further down the road,
well, it would be
and
kind
the fourth
of,
step was to provide stimuli
kind of,
to help the
with,
patient
yeah,
recover
well,
her senses.
I mean, after all, but, you know, the question
to
is...
To ensure that Wang Weiying received adequate care,
the
she was moved
is,
into
not
a special ward.
On this panel.
The nurses tried to feed her
what
a high-protein liquid solution, but she rejected it.
Yeah.
Then,
well,
I mean, Wang
Weiying's
husband,
who are they to judge anybody, but
the
thing
is,
he didn't judgment of somebody else.
Well, we put them there, so obviously we're saying that they're capable of doing it.
I don't know.
After careful observation, with the help of nutritional experts,
well, did you see them going at each other? It was amazing.
The liquid food at the hospital was
too
rich for his wife to absorb.
I think there should be more
so
accountability.
So, he started making liquid food on his own.
In what way, with regards
he
to this?
He bought chicken,
in
fish,
so much
red meat, and all kinds of vegetables.
Back and forth.
He boiled them down to
Milan,
broth
you know,
and mixed them with rice flour.
Friends,
he would feed his wife
you know,
through the gastric tube 8 or 9 times a day. Every
and
now and then, he would change the combination
of
ingredients.
That's
soon,
true. And some people have been commenting on this to me. That these people, they go there and they just make their little 5 or 10 minute speech.
Weeks
and they don't really
passed.
Address, like you say, what they're
comatose.
There for. They're just there to
in
look
the
good
third
on TV.
Year, some friends lost hope really and tried to persuade Hai Chanxi to give
know,
up.
Well, I mean,
but he wouldn't
what do you think is ultimately going to come out of this? Do you think he will be confirmed?
Wife,
do you think he'll resign?
I really do because I think everybody is seeing her for what she is.
Hai Chang-si admits that sometimes he felt frustrated because 3 years is not a short time. But since his wife was gaining weight, he kept hoping. No matter how unlikely her recovery,
well, tomorrow will be a critical day because that's when all the character witnesses are coming out.
Meanwhile, doctors and nurses strictly follow the treatment plan. Common complications.
Yes, sir. A reenactment on ABC, right?
Lung and urethral infections.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Oral inflammation.
632-6901. I think he said harass.
Yang Yan Chen says.
I'm just going to say everybody says harass. I haven't heard anybody around here say Harris. So it must be something weird. It's pretty close.
She says, for example, it is easier for the nurses to use catheterization tube. So they took the extra trouble to use massage to induce urination without the tube in order to avoid urethral infection. They also massaged the patient's joints and muscles to keep him in good shape.
He's going to survive.
In the second
this,
year, a small TV set was installed
and,
by
four
her bedside to provide visual and oral
stimuli. You can disagree with somebody and
gradually,
still think they're telling
they
the truth.
Gradually, they noticed signs of response.
An issue like this.
Wang Mei-ying's doctors used medicines and a high-pressure oxygen chamber to restore her brain function. They also used
a
Chinese acupuncture and qigong therapy. After 3 years of constant work, Wang Mei-ying emerged from a coma and gradually regained her memory and speech. January 13, 1991, was a special day for Wang Mei-ying's husband, Tai Chang-si. It was the first time in 3 years that he had heard his wife call his name.
Asked her if she wanted to look at his tater tots.
Yes, we'll just don't say anything about weekend.
At first,
okay.
He thought he was
sacred,
in a dream,
you don't mess with
but then he realized that his wife was in fact murmuring back to him when he asked whether or not she knew who he was.
Yes, the
Hai Chang-si
said,
when he told the doctors and nurses the news,
we
they
don't
didn't
really
believe him, saying that he had imagined
but
it.
But we are kind
of
lightheaded,
lighthearted
about other things, such as...
The doctors and nurses were convinced. Now Wang Mei-ying can say simple sentences
the show
and enjoy listening
generation
to local
generation, where we
when asked
reach
how she
out
feels,
and
she says she feels well.
Somewhere, somehow,
she even manages
go around
to sing.
And confuse an operator.
That,
and right now I'm confused because I misdialed, but I'm going to redial and be connected any moment now to a smiling operator in another part of the country. And we don't even know how she says harass
comatose patients. And recite a song word by word. He believes that with time, Wang Mei-ying may recover even more, and once again, to live a normal
yes, hello.
Life.
I need the telephone number for the Supreme Court, please. I have information to reveal.
China's modern astronomers are working to uphold the international reputation of their ancestors.
The number is...
Zhang Jiapi explains
seven,
the growth of astronomy
nine,
in China
three,
and its prospects
thousand.
For the future.
Ooh.
Four,
astronomy
seven,
was officially
nine,
recognized as a Chinese
three,
imperial
thousand.
Science more than 2,000 years ago.
Calling.
Chinese astronomers recorded many
that?
Unique phenomena during that time, according
you know,
to astronomers.
Can I help you? Oh, they don't hang up. Yes, so I was wondering if you could give me an address on that number, please.
1 First Street Northeast.
Chinese observers
okay,
were the first to record explosion of a supernova star
one.
In the year 383 AD.
I didn't know that. Did anybody know there was a Supreme
Court
address?
Astronomers in China first located Halley's Comet in the year 23 BC.
Okay, well, let us
Chinese
see.
Astronomers
let
were aware of sunspots as much as 3,500 years ago.
When you call the Supreme Court at 1:40
in the morning, one goal of early astronomy
morning,
was to establish a reliable
morning.
Calendar. This information was vital for the country's farmers.
You're open 24 hours?
Emperors worshipped the God of heaven and God of the earth each year. It was up to the astronomers to determine when the ceremonies should be held. In the year 1442, the country's first observatory
yes,
opened
Court.
In Beijing.
Yes, hi,
in
you
late
have to tell
19th
me what time
and 20th century,
tomorrow.
China turned its attention away from
tomorrow's
the stars and toward more
tomorrow's
pressing issues close to
oh,
home.
I see, so there are no hearings tomorrow.
China soon lost
okay,
its edge
so
in
much.
Astronomy. And it is only now beginning
well,
to catch up
to the phone at
the
Supreme Court have no idea what's going
world.
On, so we'll just go back to what we were doing. Forget that ever happened. Oh,
Li Jin says the establishment of a solar observation network has helped China regain its status in the international circle of astronomers.
You think they'd know.
This knowledge actually, helps you know what he might have been referring to? He might have been referring to the Supreme Court itself. Which in turn have a great influence
no
on Earth's
hearing
weather
the Supreme Court,
and
so
natural
that might have been
disasters.
My mistake as far as
the central government authorized
it.
Four new observatories in the 1960s at Beijing, Shanghai, and in Greenland
is our
and Shenzhen
number. We have 11
universities
minutes to go
introduced
and,
degree programs
all kinds of things
in
to,
astrophysics.
Talk about.
And Chinese scientists created
at,
new instruments to advance their research capabilities. The most important of these instruments include a radio wave telescope.
Empty noise there.
The device is used
to
produce celestial maps. Beijing says the telescope helped
like
Chinese scientists discover a previously exploded supernova star.
I have no life. So, as
far as
Thomas is
Li Jin says, many overseas astronomers have applied to use the telescope. The Beijing Observatory where Li Jin works is negotiating to link its telescope system with those in Japan and Germany. By sharing their findings, the astronomers greatly increase their range of observation. Chinese scientists have also created
a
very advanced solar magnetic telescope, infrared telescope, and the largest optical telescope in the Far East. Li Jin explains what the following decade holds in store for astronomy.
Well, you know, it's interesting
Li Jin says China will make even greater efforts to improve its multi-wave survey devices. He believes
that was a
better
good
understanding of the universe
really no
is necessary for human
him,
progress.
He couldn't say no.
And he predicts
the
importance
good,
of
no.
astrophysics will grow throughout the decade.
I don't know. You know, if he's not telling the truth, he certainly is guilty of something. But
China's aquatic production has been on the rise over the past decade, and it has become one of the big aquatic producers in the world. Radio Beijing's Yuan Fan has
more.
10 years ago, China's urban residents had to line up in long queues to buy fish. But today, they can buy many kinds of fish in most grocery stores or vegetable markets.
She was cool.
Statistics show that China's aquatic products output increased at an annual average rate of 10% during the past 10 years.
An ABC miniseries, I can
by
tell.
1990,
never
the total output
had there been
topped
questions
12
asked
testimony
times. Taken from congressional witnesses.
One
that was
factor
so
behind
raw
the increase
so
is the development of
in
sea
the
fisheries.
Caucus room of marble
China has more than a dozen of
inshore
fishing
so
grounds. In addition, China started its deep sea fishing in the mid 80s. And this makes
no
China's sea fishery output up to 5 million tons a year.
Thomas told the Senate Judiciary
but
Committee,
Tian Zhilin
no
from the Aquatic Industry
so
Department of the Agriculture Ministry says this is
don't
far from
me
enough.
If you are so led. I categorically deny all of the allegations.
Well,
that's what
says.
It says that. I don't know if he says
well,
like that.
He doesn't say that.
Tian Zhilin says since the country has a large population, the sea fishery alone cannot meet its needs. In order to further increase the aquatic products output, China must develop freshwater and seawater fish farming. Last year, the output of these farms made up half of the country's total aquatic product output. Freshwater fish culture is now very popular in inland areas. Farmers cultivate common carp, silver carp, black carp, and grass carp either in rivers and lakes or in ponds. They introduce new fish breeding technology, which has increased the output by 30%.
To many, this was far more
seawater fish breeding is now being widely adopted to breed grouper, seal, shrimp, and oysters.
Chen
Jilin points out that the aquatic industry is facing a new problem, the rapid decrease of the inshore fishery resources. He says this is caused by the wanton fishing in the
70s.
An official from the Harbor Superintendency Administration, Zhou Youchan, says the country has adopted the fishing law to protect fishery resources.
Female employees.
Zhou Yuanchan says the law imposes limits on fishing quotas. Law forbids continuous fishing at a fishing ground or catching small fish.
Democrats on the white
fishing nets should be of a required specification so that small fish can survive.
And eager Republicans were preparing
China has also introduced foreign funds to develop
its
aquatic industry.
That were detailed in
the country
FBI
has now
report.
Received about $170 million of aid and loans from the World Bank and UN organizations.
Wouldn't let them ask a thing about
money
that
has been used to build fish ponds, fish
fodder
factory, and fish breeding technology
Senator
centers.
Hatch
These
over.
Projects are expected
right
to help promote the development of China's aquatic industry. For Radio Beijing, I'm Yan Fang.
That prides itself on surface courtesy. And if he doesn't,
Dalian
Shipyard,
the biggest shipyard in China, is landing important contracts and forging a place for itself as one of the strongest competitors in the international shipbuilding market. Watch out for the story.
Senator Hal Heflin.
Recent business for Dalian Shipyard has been good. In the last 2 months alone, 244,000-ton oil tankers have been delivered to their Swedish owners. A third is expected to be completed by the end of this year. The tankers, co-designed by Chinese and Swedish engineers, are considered to be technologically on the leading edge. Dalian Shipyard built the country's first nuclear submarine and destroyer, both of which are equipped with missile launchers. Now it is in the process of building a large warship for the Navy. The warship, currently undergoing testing and soon to be operational, is expected to play a key role in bolstering the national defense. With the help of contracts such as these, Dalian Shipyard has earned $300 million since the 1980s, a figure that places the shipyard on the top of the list of China's top currency earners. But as Assistant Director Wang Xizhang admits, entering the world market has not been easy. In fact, up until 1989, when business took a turn for the better, keeping the shipyard solvent was somewhat of an uphill battle. Forced to make concessions in crisis because its reputation was unestablished, the shipyard was already in jeopardy financially. When 1985 brought a drastic decline in the international shipbuilding industry. While other shipyards floundered, however, Dalian Shipyard managed to survive, earning international recognition in the process. According to Wang Xizhang, one key to the shipyard's success is the close attention it has paid to the quality of its ships and the timeliness of their delivery. Also, as Chinese labor is relatively inexpensive in comparison with labor in the West, Dalian Shipyard could afford to underbid international competitors. But as Wang points out, the shipyard's profits are not great. In a world market where demand for ships is low, Dalian Shipyard has been forced to diversify. Ship repair offers one important source of income. Last year, it earned the shipyard 100 million yuan.
This guy isn't even qualified to be on the Supreme Court.
Okay, now, how do you explain that? At present, says Wang, the Soviets bring in the most ship repair business, as Dalian is located on the tip of northeast China's Liaodong Peninsula, which is only a short distance away from the Soviet Union. But the Soviets don't have enough foreign currency to pay for the repair, nor do they have the materials Dalian Shipyard wants. In the compromise effort, however, business has continued. The Soviet Union now exports equipment valued at several hundred million yuan to China, aiding the construction of several Chinese power stations in exchange for ship repair as needed. According to Wang, in addition to its attempts at diversification, the shipyard has also undergone extensive renovation. A new shipyard has been built and is capable of building ships up to 150,000 tons. The new shipyard is in turn building an even bigger platform, which will enable the construction of ships up to 200,000 tons.
Look like she's nuts.
Quite a quote he had about handing her ass to her. It wasn't to her, it was the other woman.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then he supposedly pulled a bombshell today saying that, you know,
a lot of what she's quoting came from a case that was in front of her, you know, in the circuit that she's in Oklahoma. I don't know whether you guys are aware of that.
No, actually, you can fill us in on that.
Yeah, well, he supposedly brought out some case that was, I guess, in the circuit around Oklahoma, and a lot of what happened in that case is almost verbatim of what she's quoted. And but the whole thing is, I mean, this type of stuff happens, and it's not isolated cases. I mean, it, you know, if it happens, textbook kind of stuff. It happens once, it doesn't happen again, that's bull. It happens all the time, and a lot of these people are looking at the same movies and coming up with the same kind of ideas. And, you know, I mean, if he's quoting Long Dong Silver, I mean, everybody knows what that is. If everybody doesn't know who Johnny Watt is, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on. Telling me that nobody up who was sitting on that roster room up there, they should have known who he was. If they didn't, then, you know, they're living somewhere outside the United States.
Well, now, we're out of time here, but let me just ask you a quick question. What do you think is actually going to happen? You think he's really going to lose?
Yeah, he's gone now. I mean, I don't think they're going to... If he gets confirmed, it's time to move out of the United States.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting note to close on. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
And that's going to just about do it for us here tonight. Sorry those people we didn't get to, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. We'll be back again next week talking about probably what happened this week coming up, because something is definitely going to happen. Paul Weissman's up next, and who knows what he's going to do. That might be reported in some newspapers, too. Well, we'll just have to see, won't we? I'll tune into the hearings tomorrow, but if you don't tune into the hearings tomorrow, tune into Jazz on the Air, because there'll be a special program starting at 1:30 with Ray Anderson. Yeah. See you later.